going through the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, and through this we've been seeing the heart of Jesus. We've been looking at what Jesus values the last couple weeks and looking at just the Lord's Prayer. We have seen just the things that come out as Jesus prays. We hear His heart. We're to value His name, His will. We're to value His kingdom. And then we look closely at the command, the things that He prays for in our daily bread. We're to be dependent on Him daily for daily needs. We're to seek forgiveness and seek to forgive others. And we're also to pray for His leading and direction as we seek to walk accordingly. In our continued study of the Sermon on the Mount, we're looking this morning as continuing thinking about the heart of Jesus. What does He value? And we come to this passage right after He has talked about, He's looked at things like giving and prayer and fasting, and He moves into a section here in not storing up for yourselves treasures on earth, but storing up treasures in heaven. Really, this sermon is in contrast to the Pharisees. So I appreciate Brother Kenny. I've appreciated Brother Kenny leading us this past in our study in the book of Matthew 23. We're seeing the heart of Pharisees. And I think it's been kind of eye-opening because in a sense we all have a heart of a Pharisee. Even this past morning, this morning in Sunday school, he talked about how they were greedy in covetousness, and they were worried about the outside of the dish and not at the inside of the dish. And we're thinking about just what Jesus values. He's raising up this sermon to help us to see the things that He holds dear. And these are spiritual realities, like loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving your neighbor as yourself. As you know, the Pharisees were worried about their reputation. They were worried about their riches to some degree. They were worried about their notoriety. And even as he's talked about giving and prayer and fasting, he's talked about rewards. The Bible speaks a lot. When we talk about treasures, the Bible does speak a good bit about treasures and rewards. Matter of fact, just in this text right here, I looked back and five different times I see the word reward listed in Matthew 5 and 6 in this sermon. And so we're going to talk about our treasures this morning. Does the name Forrest Fenn come to ring a bell to any of you guys? Forrest Fenn, I saw a smile. Maybe somebody has seen the 48 Hours documentary. CBS did the 48 Hours on it. And this was a man that was 80 years old, lived in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And he hid a treasure worth over $1 million. He hid it in the Rocky Mountains, somewhere north of Santa Fe, Mexico, and south of Canada. So it was a very diverse area where he hid this treasure, but he wrote a 26-stanza poem, and he said, in this poem, you can figure out where this treasure is. Guys, I'm going to tell you, there was thousands of people that lit in on this treasure hunt. There was one lady that said she spent 10,000 hours researching and had been on 300 trips. Now, the sad reality of this is people were so mesmerized by this treasure. There were five different people that lost their lives looking for this treasure. Isn't it sad? They even went to this man, this elderly gentleman, and said, you've got to reveal where this treasure is. And he says, I'm not going to reveal where this treasure is, but I will say this. It's in a place where an 80-year-old man could get to it. And so I think he was trying to meet in the middle with these people and say, look, I haven't hid it in some place that you need to go risk your life for it. But nonetheless, people's hearts were filled with greed and covetousness, and they would spend their last days just leaving their homes and their families and forsaking all, risking their life for this treasure. You know, what is it that we treasure most? And in this text it says right here, if you'll look with me at verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, it's somebody pointed out they've never seen a moving truck following a hearse. You know, and that's true. Right here, I've done two funerals in the past week, and both times that the hearse would come to the sanctuary, come to the graveside. And actually, this last one, Brother Bill and Rose were there. It was up at New Hope North Cemetery. I'd never been to New Hope North, but they live in that community, and they were actually at the funeral, and they backed the hearse in, and I was even helping. It was an elderly person, and I was even helping as a pallbearer. And nowhere in that church parking lot did I see a moving truck. Guys, I want to tell you that when we pass from this earth, we leave. And we can't take anything with us. Now, the Egyptians, they prized themselves in being able to have these big vaulted tombs. And sometimes they would put their treasures in the tombs with the pharaohs of Egypt that would pass away. But I don't think it did them a whole lot of good. You know, it was sad that I was reading about the pagan cults and the missionaries that would go into parts of the world in India, and it's in the witchcraft of and the demon possession that took place, and many of these leaders that would die, maybe a village leader. Sadly enough, sometimes they would bury his wife with him. I don't know what good she can do him when he's dead, but I will say this: that in this earth, things we try to treasure and take in for value, we value so much, we can't take with us. I thought about having you close your eyes this morning and try to think about where you spend all your time and your energy. What is it that can, maybe you could do that. Just close your eyes and think about what consumes you during the day. What is it that you find yourself thinking constantly about? Is it something that brings anxiety and worry? Because right after this text, you can open your eyes. Right after this text, Jesus would go down. He would talk about the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. And he would say that don't worry. Don't be filled with anxiety, because your heavenly Father, who gave you His best, His Son, will give you all things you need. You know, the pagans, the Gentiles, would worry about things like food and clothing. And you know, I was convicted thinking about this, because a lot of times we worry about food and clothing, and it says that the lilies of the field were clothed in beautiful splendor, more so than Solomon in all of his array. And the birds, they don't neither sow nor spin, or they get up and God provides what they need. You know, He says, don't worry about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat. And I thought to myself, we worry a lot about what we're going to eat and what we're going to wear. But you know what? It says that tomorrow is sufficient for itself. Don't worry about tomorrow. Keep your focus on today. But you know what I even thought about? We worry more about also not just about our clothes and our food. We worry about places we're going and things we want to do and entertainment and things that we're treasuring. And we worry about, what is it? What came to mind? What about your jobs? You know, I told you about my twin brother. He finally just, and all the pressures and the worry and anxiety and the things that people were putting on him, he finally just told his people, his bosses, he said, y'all can have it. He said, y'all can have it. He called me this week. He said, man, he said, I've been offered a job working at a sports, what do you call it, like Hibbets and Dicks and some of those places. I've been offered a job working at a sports store, making a whole lot less money. But you know what? There was a joy in his heart and mind when he told me that. Because he knew at the end of the day he could come home and he could love his wife and kids, and he could maybe take his kids to ball practice, and he could enjoy a school play when his boys and you know get old enough to be in school activities. And I thought there's something to be said about that. You know, what is it that is so important to you that you lay awake at night worrying about? You say, well, I've got a good job and it's a lot of responsibility and they pay me a lot of money. Life's short, guys. How much do they pay you? Is it worth your anxiety and your worry? Is it worth you putting all your life and energy and time and efforts into it? Now, I will say that God does value work. The birds of the air, the birds that were fed, guess what? They didn't just sit there with their mouths open, even though the little birds did. They went to work. It would rain, they would fly in that yard, and they would paw that ground, and they would look for those little worms that God would wash up. I made reference to that last week. The birds were busy. They honored and glorified God with their lives. I want to tell you that that's one of the ways we store up heavenly treasures. Colossians 2 talks about, Colossians 3, 23 and 24, it says, work heartily as for the Lord, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You know, but what is it? So there is honor in working for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says that your labor in the Lord is not going to be in vain. What is it that God values, though? What is it in 2022 that we, how are we, I just want to get practical with you. How do we store up heavenly treasures? In just looking at the text in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 11 and 12, it says, "Blessed are the persecuted, for great is their reward in heaven." So one of the ways we store up rewards is we stand firm in the face of persecution. All right? Faith brings about a persistence, and it looks to the reward. Even if you think about in Hebrews 11, Moses would say that he valued being with God's people and the spiritual inheritance that he would have in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ who was to come. He valued that much more than all of the treasures of Egypt that he had. He looked to the reward. Walking by faith is looking to the reward. 2 Timothy 4, Paul talks about, "I have kept the faith, I've run my race, and now there's a crown of righteousness stored up for me and all those who have longed for His appearing." The Bible says a good bit about an inheritance and a reward. Store up for yourselves not treasures on earth where moth and rust can destroy and thieves can break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust can destroy and nor can thieves break in and steal. I'm thinking about Brother John Lockhart. He's back here on duty, patrol duty, with security duty today. So I don't want to embarrass him, but I look at a couple men in our church and they do so much. I do see Brother Bob here. I am going to embarrass him. Up here yesterday, putting in filters and working around our place. You know, John, you know, whereas the thieves come to steal, kill, and destroy, and they come to break in and steal our van, church van. Would y'all believe that somebody took a Sawzall and sawed off the catalytic converter of our church van? You would? Now that's sad. It makes me think of that backpack we saw in our bushes back here. Maybe somebody was lying out. John told me this morning, he said, "Man, that was done. It must have been very loud to be right here sawing and dogs barking and nobody ever saw it." But there's a lot of crooks and thieves and people around us. But you know what? John, on the coldest day of the year yesterday or 2 days ago when it was so cold, he came up here and he put on a catalytic converter on our church van because he thought, you know, the senior adults or the teenagers are going to want to use that van at some point in time. And it sounded like a dump truck, a pupwood truck, a race car. It sounded like something very, very, very loud out there. What a contrast to hear someone who is valuing the kingdom, who's storing up treasures in heaven and coming to put a catalytic converter on a van as opposed to cutting it off. I don't know. I'm sure he took it to a place that maybe got $50 for the catalytic converter, which probably cost us $400 or $500. I don't know, $500 or $600. What do you value going into 2022? You saw the first second thing I see in the text is they love their enemies. It talks about rewards and loving your enemies. The ones that would give would give in secret. You know, the Pharisees would shout the horn and have this big bugle and everybody would come around and they would put their money in and they would get their reward, the Bible talked about, because they were given for all to see. The ones that would pray would use these big, long, elaborate, the word there has to do with like babbling, really. And they would just go on and on and on about the things they would pray for. And Jesus would say they get their reward. And then the ones that would fast, they were, you know, fasting was commanded once a year on the Day of Atonement. But the Pharisees, which it is a spiritual discipline, but the Pharisees would fast every Monday and Thursday. And it became a big way for them to use their disciplines to look like that they really had it all together. Now fasting is a wonderful spiritual discipline, and I hated to just pass over it. It's to know God intimately. It's a way to really express our great need for Him and long for Him and really throw our things, not value the things that the immediate, and look toward the spiritual realities. And fasting is a wonderful thing, but it had become something that the Pharisees would do in their long faces, and they would gloom and doom, and people would say, man, they sure are spiritual. So many things people do in their rewards and treasures are our notoriety, the fame that we get here, the success, we a lot of times we have our giving, and if you give so much, you get prizes, and man, some people can give a whole lot more than others. And the Bible says, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. In and of yourself, if it's something that's between you and the Lord, and nobody should know what you're giving. But Jesus said, you get your reward. But he says that, so for those who do it in secret and do it as an act of worship, it says that, what does Jesus say about it? Your reward will be great in heaven. Those that fast and do it for a spiritual reality, to walk closely to Christ in this vertical relationship with Him, the reward will be given in heaven. Those that give will be rewarded in heaven. Those who pray, go in their closet and pray in secret, and your reward will be given in heaven. Those who love your enemies, reward in heaven. Those who are persecuted for Christ's sake, their reward will be in heaven. And I just showed you a few things because I thought it was interesting that the word reward is listed five different times here in these two pages that I'm looking at. And then he goes on to say, even right before he got into laying up treasures in heaven, it says that your fasting may not be seen by others, but your Father who is in heaven in secret, but your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Matthew 10, 37 to 39 says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus is saying that the true followers of Jesus are living kingdom focused. They're living with their minds on eternity. They're just passing through. And the things that everybody says we should be treasuring, like a good big bank account and maybe the things around us that we hold so dear. Family is a wonderful thing, but how closely do we hold our family and friends? Jesus said we're to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're to forsake even family, lose our own life, so that ultimately we will find it. This is what Jesus is talking about in following Him, and all these red letters between Matthew 5 to Matthew chapter 7 in this Sermon on the Mount. You know, this Jesus is coming and He's fulfilled the law, and he talks about anger, and you've heard it said this, and He says, but I say. And then lust, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I say, if you've looked at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. You know, and He talks about how He's fulfilled righteousness. And that by faith we trust in Him. Because we can't live up. The Pharisees were saying, you can do it. Do all these things. Check these boxes. There's hundreds and hundreds of laws that we've now set that place these burdens on your back. Jesus is saying, you can't do it. But I did it for you. I love what Brother Kenny said, and so many of us in going in this new year, and this is what Jesus would talk about at the very top of laying up heavenly treasures. He would say, value others. Store up heavenly treasures by loving me and loving your neighbor as yourself. You need to have a greater 1 Corinthians 13, don't be the loud sounding gong or cymbal, but love others. Care for needs. I was thinking about, and just the simple practical ways, going back to heavenly treasures. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 25, you remember the story of the sheep and the goats, and the king says, he's talking about the sheep and the goats, and he's saying, this is what, the sheep are on my right hand, and you know, they're going to have a reward, and this is, and the people say, the sheep are going, you know, what do you mean? We're thankful for this. And he says that, you know, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And he said, when did we, the sheep on the right, and he said, when did we see you, Jesus, in need, or needing clothes, or naked, or hungry, or thirsty, or in prison, or in need? And Jesus said, when you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it unto me. And the goats were on the other side, and he says the same thing. He says, You didn't do these things. And they said, when did we see you in need or hunger or thirsty? And Jesus said, when you didn't do it to the least of these, my brothers, you didn't do it to me. Heavenly treasures, values, worship, prayer, fasting, giving. But also heavenly treasures, values, works, good deeds. When I say that, out of the overflow of what Jesus has done for you, we value others. You know, true joy, Jesus, others, and yourself. But others, caring for others, the least of these, those that are downtrodden, those that are sick, those that are need clothes, those that are hungry. And I see many of you going, we work at the food pantry. Many of you do acts of service around our church. Many of you meet needs. Many of you give to the poor. I got a thank you note this morning from Brother Tom, Mike, about the church in Kentucky that was so thankful for this offering that we sent them when the tornadoes came through. Many of you gave to that. This is how we store up heavenly treasures. We say, blood of Jesus, be my all. Lord, you are more precious than silver, more costly than gold, more beautiful than diamonds. Lord Jesus, you are my all in all. And that's reflected with our time and our talents and our money and our resources. And we serve God faithfully. We use our gifts in His service. How do you use your gifts? How do you use your time? How do you use your money? Do you use it to store up heavenly treasures? Seek to please God, not only our giving, but also in fulfilling God's purposes in all we do. After all, this is what Jesus is talking about, is seeking first the kingdom of God. Seek first, Matthew 6:33, down at the end of this chapter, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Everything you need will be given to you as you seek God. And as you seek God, that should look like you using your time, using your energy, using your resources to build His kingdom, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, to serve Him by serving others and caring for those in need. When He is our treasure, we will commit our resources, our money, our time, our talents to His work in the Lord. Sometimes you probably heard the scripture, you said, oh, Brother Stephen is going to talk to us about giving our tithe. Y'all, tithe is just a minuscule part, but it is a big part. Because someone who values Jesus and the kingdom, someone who wants to store up heavenly treasures, is going to be faithful with what God has given them. So you are going to commit to giving to God's work, which is through His local church and our community. You are going to commit to giving to the Lighting Moon Christmas offering because you know you're going to want to make disciples. You know, when I talked to that funeral 2 days ago, and talked about the good shepherd laying his life down for the sheep, and there's a part in John 10, verse 16, Jesus says, I have sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also. And I thought, man, that's awesome. Because Jesus is still in the saving business. And you know what? We who make disciples should still be focused on His mission. We should still be looking to make disciples. We should still be giving so people can go to the ends of the earth. We should still be praying that people would go to the ends of the earth. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Pray that God would send out laborers to the harvest. We should also be giving so that others can go. Praying for our missionaries. And you, storing up heavenly treasures, are very active fulfilling God's purposes in bringing about sheep, the lost sheep that need to be found. Are you faithful? May we be faithful in 2022, storing up heavenly treasures by looking for the lost sheep, by caring for those downtrodden and those who are in need, who are thirsty, who are hungry. You know, and just thinking about, I couldn't help but to think about greed and as I was thinking about Forrest Finn, I also got reading about those that were lottery winners. Y'all have heard the statistics. The lottery winners, man, where are they now? Where are those that won the millions? What are they doing? What did they do with the big treasure that just fell in their laps? There was one guy, and I read 26 different stories. I couldn't quit reading it. I really couldn't. I was blown away that this one had this many million dollars, and this one had this many million dollars, and this one had... There was one guy in Texas, $365 million, the Powerball winner. And all my stories run together, but just like all the rest of them, he died lonely, broke, divorced. This one guy, in the entire sad history of lottery winners, well, it says, spending too much too fast. Billy Bob Harrell, this is something that was common. You know, they all spend too much too fast. Billy Bob Harrell Jr. in his class by himself. The Home Depot shelf stalker blew through $31 million in just 2 years after winning the Lotto Texas jackpot. He and his wife bought houses and cars for themselves and their family members. The deeply religious family also donated heavily to their church and individual members of the congregation. The money dried up and the Harold's marriage fell apart. Less than 2 years after his lottery dreams come true, Harold locked himself in a room and shot himself to death. Boy, that really helped him out a lot, didn't it? Keith Goof, I think his name is. In 2010, a 58-year-old former baker named Keith Goof drank himself to death. He was alone and penniless just 5 years after winning the equivalent of nearly $11 million with a lucky British lottery ticket. Soon after winning, his once stable life devoted into a blur of exotic cars, racehorses, and luxuries like stadium box seats. Con men swindled him out of nearly $1 million, and he split up from his wife of 25 years just 2 years after he won. Most people dream about winning the Mega Millions or Powerball, but they should be careful what they wish for. It's not uncommon for lottery winners to wind up with nothing but wrecked friendships, destroyed marriages, poverty, and even worse. Most of them found themselves in debt. One lady won millions of dollars, and she went to her husband and said, "I want a divorce." And he was confused. He said, "I thought we had a happy marriage." Well, 11 days later, evidently, they were divorced, and he finds out that she was a winner of the lottery, and he couldn't understand that was why she divorced her happily married husband. Well, the judge would rule in his favor, and after he took her to court and I had it all official words about how he didn't disclose this to his wife. And anyway, the judge ruled in his favor and he got every red cent. Boy, it really worked out well for her, didn't it? But y'all, it was sad. One guy won it and he was poisoned by cyanide. He came up dead because he won millions. They don't even know who killed him. But so many friends all of a sudden, can you imagine if I told y'all that I've just won, say, just $45 million. Imagine all the friends I'm all of a sudden going to have. Can you imagine? Now, sometimes you already have trouble figuring out who your real friends are, but imagine that. You'd probably be safe to assume that you probably don't have a whole lot of real friends. Better even sleep with one eye open at night. But so many people had wrecked lives because of the things that they valued so much. The survey was done in 1992, and they asked these people, and you know that they people that made somewhere in the neighborhood of $25,000, they asked them how much they would need to be content, and most of them said somewhere around the lines of, so I think that the average was around $58,000, and then they asked those who made $100,000 a year how much they would need to be satisfied and where they need to be, and the statistics said that they said they needed just a little over $100,000. So statistics said in people's mind they need about double what they make is kind of what the point of that survey was. So whatever your household income is, I guess you double it, and I guess that's what people think they need to be satisfied. But you know, like that millionaire was asked how much he needed to be content, and he said just one more dollar. You know, I mean, how much do we, what is going to bring? Paul told Timothy, godliness with great gain, what is it? And I'm going to misquote it now here. Godliness with great gain is contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Let me say it the other different way. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Man, I pray that you find your satisfaction in Christ. I pray that He is your treasure. You know, I know we work hard. I know our job should be important. But is it really worth you worrying your life away? Is it really worth you forsaking your kids and your spouse. God will provide. If He gives the birds their, you know, what they need, and if he gives the flowers their beautiful array and clothes them and feeds the birds, He's going to clothe and feed His own. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, just a couple things, just being real practical. Our motivation was really, you know, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all things for the glory of God. That should be our motivation, and what we do is for the glory of God. Not giving to get recognition, not fasting to look good, not praying long prayers to, so like the Pharisees, people will think we're super religious. Work for the Lord. I told you, whatever you do, do it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. You know, like I said, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you that person will certainly not lose his reward. That's Matthew 10:42. Just giving a cup of cold water in Jesus' name the Lord Jesus will reward you for that. As I said, reusing your gifts, not for people to see, but to serve the Lord. Using your gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about these gifts of teaching, singing, playing of musical instruments. But we might be tempted to use them for our own glory, but do it for God's glory. The Lord rewards our service. The Lord will be faithful, Hebrews 6 says, to reward us for the service we give. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. 1 Corinthians 3:8. You remember the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, he loved his money more than God. The issue wasn't that the man was rich. I'm not preaching against riches here. I'm preaching against a heart that's based on covetousness and greed. God uses many business owners that make a lot of money to use their gifts for the kingdom and for storing up heavenly treasures, to win the lost, to give to the church for God's work. But this guy treasured his riches and did not treasure what he could have in Christ. He chose the world's treasure and did not lay up treasure in heaven. He was unwilling to make Jesus his treasure. The young man was very religious, but Jesus exposed his heart of greed. I couldn't help but to think about when Brother Kenny was talking about the Pharisees this morning. In Matthew 23:25, it says this, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." Greed and self-indulgence. And I told the small group class, the Sunday school class, I said, man, that was describing me. That was describing you. It was describing us. We don't just seek after things that food and shirts for our back and our clothes for our kids. Those don't just consume our mind. We're more concerned about how much can we get and how quick can we get it. How much can we put in our bank account? How much do we need to retire and live comfortably? Sounds a little bit like self-indulgence and greed, doesn't it? For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside you are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean. Storing up heavenly treasures has to do with walking closely to Jesus. It has to do with worshiping Him alone. You know, you get down to the text, and we'll move with this kind of quickly because I've spent a lot of time on this, and I knew I would, but I wanted to read the whole text to you. But it goes on the next part of the scripture. If you'll go down to you know, after you we see that for where your the thieves for it says that for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We get also a look at a spiritual vision. You know, you see it says the eye of the lamp. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? You know, this eye being the lamp where the light comes through, and this really has to do with the heart of singular devotion and a heart of giving. It's basically the light in the darkness is in contrast to the heavenly treasures versus the earthly treasures. The good eye looks to God as its master and fills that person with the light of God's will, the focus, commitment, love, service, gifts, seeking the kingdom. The bad eye looks to treasures on earth and admits only to darkness of greed and self-interest. The person's whole life will be determined by the kind of light the eye lets in. Will you walk in His will in 2022? Will you do His work? Will you join the people around you in this church, and will you go after the lost sheep? Not like the Pharisees, may you have a heart for God, not just looking good, but will you truly seek to love others better in 2022? You know, Matthew 7 over it talks about a firm foundation and building your house upon the rock. I couldn't help but to think, you know, two funerals in a week helps you really think about what we value, right? When we go to a funeral, it's really sober. When you walk around a cemetery, you can't help but to think about people and what was important to them. Did they seek God's kingdom? Did they live to serve others and serve the Lord? Did they build their foundation upon the rock of Jesus Christ? Establish a firm foundation. Worship and love God with all your heart. Be free from anxiety. As I told you, pagans worry about food and clothes. You worry about the kingdom and seek that kingdom. I can't help but to think as we move toward the end, be a better neighbor. You think about the Good Samaritan, really? Remember the Good Samaritan? Remember that there was the scribe and the Pharisee asked, who is my neighbor? And he tells a story about a Levite and a priest and then a Samaritan. Remember the Samaritan was the one that, I don't know, I'm not hitting anything. I don't know if the batteries are getting low or what.
Yeah, you can just put me on right here. If you notice that the Samaritan was the one that was a good neighbor, he looked past whether he was black or white. He looked past whether he was had how much money he had. He looked past any all these things that separate us from different groups of people. And he looked and saw a person in need. And it says he went and he cleaned his wounds. He set him up on his donkey. He took him to the inn. And then he left money enough for the innkeeper to take care of him. This was a true neighbor. This was a good Samaritan. In 2022, in storing up heavenly treasures, let us be good neighbors. Let us first love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let us love our neighbor as ourself. And lastly, I want to read it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. It's self-explanatory. We saw a heavenly treasure. We saw a spiritual vision. And then lastly, we see one king. One king. Look at verse 24 and 25, or verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon, or both God and money. Just doesn't work, guys. You know, it's really, the writer is holding up a slave that's got two masters. You've got to be committed to one and full allegiance and devotion to other, or you're going to half-heartedly be devoted to both. And then he raises up the two masters of God and money, and this mammon really has to do with more than just money. It has to do with fame, success, riches, notoriety, the things that the Pharisees were chasing. And he says, either you got to be committed fully and completely to the Lord Jesus and value Him and treasure Him and sing the song to Him. This is the whole problem with the Israelites. Remember, they wanted to worship Yahweh and they wanted to worship Baal. And God says, you got to serve me, you got to serve Baal. You can't have two masters. You got to serve God or you got to serve riches. You can't have two masters, and storing up heavenly treasures, and being focused, singular, single-minded focus in 2022, it requires that we have one king, one that we show our allegiance to, one that we live for, one that we die for, one that we commit to, And it'll affect the way we live. It affects the way we spend our money. It affects the way we treat others. It affects the way we worship for show or for Him alone. Guys, our reward will be great in heaven if we'll seek the Lord, if we'll live for Him. May we, in 2022, not store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but may we store up for ourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves cannot break in and steal. Guys, I need you to help me with that. You need me to help with that. May we work together. May we hold each other accountable. May we point people in the right way. May we encourage one another, Sunday school teachers. May we remind people of whose we are and our focus and what it needs to be on. Let us help each other run and treasure Christ. Let's pray. Father, we love You and we thank You. God, we do continually just pray and call on You for our needs. God, we pray that You would meet our daily needs. Pray that You would meet our spiritual needs, our mental needs, emotional needs. God, everything that we have, James says, every good and perfect gift is from above. And God, we know that if we seek You and do Your work and love You with all our heart and love our neighbor as ourselves, we know that You're going to give us what we need, God. I pray that we would value Jesus above all. And God, that we would run to win, that we would treasure the things You treasure, God. God, I pray that we wouldn't take our eyes and turn them on the world's riches and the world's lights and pleasures, and like Moses said, the fleeting pleasures of Egypt, God. May they not distract us, but may we look toward a heavenly city and wait for that heavenly reward, that prize. But God, we're so thankful that, Lord, there's great purpose and fulfillment in living for You, and we experience joy and heavenly treasures even now as we do the things You call us to do, as we worship You, as we love our neighbor. God, as we commit to You and work as unto the Lord, God, there's so much fulfillment in that. May we all understand that. May our eyes be on Christ. Lord, we love You and we thank You. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.